We're taking some time looking at wells, the importance of wells, and see that in Scripture. And Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And this spring of water that Jeremiah describes there is a description of a well that is fed by a spring. And he makes this contrast between this well-fed spring and a cistern. Cistern is just a man-made structure, doesn't have a flowing water source, and at best it's just like a tank, a storage container. But it always has the potential to become stagnant because there isn't any flow going to it. But this wasn't even as good as that. This was a broken cistern. So even though it was designed to contain water, there was no water because it had all gone to waste. But in contrast to that, our own efforts to do stuff, God is described as this spring, this well of living water, always fresh, always flowing, always replenishing, pure and clean and thirst quenching. That's how God is, isn't it? And as we've seen previously, wells with a continuous fresh flow are vital, essential to life. You can't live without water. And so it's not much good having a well that dries up in summer. I have a couple of water butts in the garden, and they're great. You can collect your rainwater, which is always better for your plants. But the sad thing about them is that when we have no rain, they're soon empty. And so I've got two lovely, beautiful water butts with no water in them, because I've used it all. And no doubt they would, because we've had at least a week without rain, they'll soon be talking of a hose pipe ban for the summer. And it's crazy, really, is that they have a hose pipe ban at the very time you need a hose, don't they? But it's kind of like that, isn't it? That what is the use of these things at a time if they're not available when we really need the water? And so the tragedy is that we can turn our back on the source of this wonderful, continuous supply, this presence of living water, as it's described, God Himself. And there's no greater tragedy than that. In Numbers 21, we're given an account of the journey that the Israelites were taking towards the Promised Land. And it was a journey that took them to a well. They had been without water, and they were journeying, and they came to a well. And then in verse 16, it says this, "They continued on to Beer," remember Beersheba, where the well is, "on to Beer, the well where the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather the people together, and I will give them water.' Then Israel sang this song, 'Spring up, O well, sing about it, about the well that the princes dug, that the nobles of the people sank, the nobles with the scepters and staffs.'" Some of you may remember some time back now when Trish shared about this verse and this well. And this is what she said. I did continue praying for Trish, by the way, but she's all there when she's singing and when she's praying. She's alive because her spirit is alive. And she says this, "All morning I've had a picture of three angels circling around in here. They're whirling around each other like a circular interactive dance. As the Holy Spirit came, they stopped circling and looked into the wells, specifically your well in this place." And she said, "This morning's been a process of unblocking wells. So their wings that were only very gently moving began to swish. Wings that had been moving gently swished three times. And the angels accompanied that movement. And she explains that three speaks of harmony, of new life, of completeness. And then she said the dirty water began to clear, and fresh water, the water that the angels had been playing with, began to bubble up. The Lord wants to release in a fresh way the unblocking of the world. He is releasing fresh water. And she went on to say that as we were singing earlier, she was reminded of the release of this well that we hear about in Numbers 21. Spring up, O well. Sing about it. And interestingly, she says she felt that this is a key verse that accompanies intercession, accompanies prayer. How intercession brings release, that the singing is a part of releasing. It's kind of like a hot bowl kind of prayer, isn't it? And singing brings that about. And actually, I was reminded about it some weeks ago now when Lindley was singing over this well, and she's done it a number of times since. She has a beautiful gift. I'm sorry, Lindley, to embarrass you, but she has a beautiful gift of being able to sing scriptures and sing over us, and which is just lovely, and it's just a wonderful gift to have and to be able to be a part of. So Trish went on to say, the well is very deep. The well in this place is very deep. Deep wells are really important because when you have a deep well, it's able to draw on uncontaminated water. Shallow wells are easily contaminated and they dry up, but deep wells are always flowing. They're fresh and pure. And I'm sure you sense this, that God is taking us deep into his heart. He's drawing us into a deep place in him. So she continued sharing this picture. She said children were playing around the outside. They're holding hands and laughing and playing. And she says this, I believe that the Lord wants to release that joy and fun and children to us. Whether that is spiritual children or children, God wants to release the children. And the angels in here, the angels are lifting up. As the prayers are coming, the angels are lifting up the prayers to the Father. And the water is flowing. And the cleansing is coming. And the gifts and the kingdom of God is coming in this place. Such a beautiful picture and a declaration. And you know, we need to sing about it. We need to celebrate it. And we need to do that before it comes fully. Don't wait till it's all there. There's a trickle. And there's more to come. A growing trickle. Sing about it. Celebrate it. It takes me to a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 12:3 says this, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And one of the things that Craig so often speaks over people is this, that he would restore the joy of your salvation. And I know it's something that I very definitely need. There's something important about that. And then John records the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John 4. And then verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you'd have asked him, he would have given you living water. By this living water, remember, this is water that is flowing fresh and pure and clear, and it's thirst-quenching and satisfying, life-giving water. So the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? That is actually a fundamental question, isn't it? How can you and I, how can we get this water? It comes from a deep place. It comes from the the very heart of God to us. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Because Jesus was really talking about something so much more fundamental, so much more essential to life, true life, eternal life, as we come drinking of his provision, as we come drinking of his life, drinking of his living water, the ever-flowing Spirit of God. And so the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She was still struggling to get beyond the practical, the physical. I think that can be so true of many today, always wanting to reduce what is going on to something that is logical, something that is explainable, something that's simply humanly possible, doable, natural. But as we know, this water that Jesus offers takes us way beyond that. God is always wanting to draw us into his supernatural provision and supply. We have a supernatural God with a supernatural provision. He has that for us. And the reality is, to get the living water that Jesus provides doesn't require effort on our part, nothing that we have to do, no performance required. What he provides for us is freely given to us. It is forever flowing, forever available. It makes us become spiritually alive. It makes us become alive in the Spirit. It makes us eternally alive. It makes us one in him, through him, with him. So the thing is, we simply need to come and drink. In John 7, Jesus was talking there, and he said in a loud voice, he wanted to make sure everybody heard what he had to say, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And so the question is, are we thirsty? And if we are thirsty, what are we thirsty for? Because it is so easy to make an attempt to satisfy our thirst with all kinds of things, but it always leaves you dissatisfied, because real thirst, true thirst, can only be satisfied in Jesus as we drink of him, as we drink of his Spirit. Jesus explained, "Whoever," I love the fact that Jesus is for the whoever, not the selective few. He is for whoever. You might want to think some of the people on your heart that's yet to come into that whoever. Whoever believes. And again, this isn't simply an intellectual belief. It's not simply agreeing with something, but it's a belief that totally transforms every part of our lives. We're not the same again. Life isn't the same again. Nothing can ever be the same again. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." I kind of like that. I love the way it's a river, because a river is designed to flow. There has to be an outlet for the water to flow. As has been said, you only get to keep what you give away. We have to be those that give away what God has given to us, that there might be a river that flows and goes on flowing. So it says, "Rivers of living water will flow from within them," and by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Rivers of living water. God intends for those rivers of living water to flow from you and from me, from each one of us. Not just an occasional trickle now and then, but an ever-flowing river, a torrent of water. I mean, Jesus was preparing them at that time for what was to come. Because on the day of Pentecost, the day that we are celebrating today, the day when Jesus, all that Jesus had spoken about many times came about. Because Jesus, remember, by this time, was glorified. He had been crucified, he had conquered death, he had been raised to new life, he had ascended, he had gone back to glory, and now the Holy Spirit was given. And rivers of living water were flowing, satisfying the deepest thirst, bringing true life as it is drunk. You know, the crowds thought that the disciples were drunk on wine, but they were way off. They were drunk, but they were drunk on the Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And so Peter, there in Acts 2, he's explaining all that's going on to the crowd that had gathered there on that day. He stood up there in verse 14 in Acts 2. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And do you remember Surprise talking about that? And so the young with their visions want to take action. And those of us who are older, I'm not sure that anybody applies in here, but their wisdom that comes with it. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And let's not forget, we live in those days. That's our day. I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. Prophecy is so important. And I just love that in Revelation, where it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is lifted high. Jesus is exalted when prophecy takes its true form. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I kind of love that. The ultimate purpose of this living water, the ultimate purpose of this outpouring of the Spirit is this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you don't need me to tell you, that's the greatest need that we see around us today. And I know that you all have those who are on your heart, and you long to see those come into that place. They may come and drink of this living water. They may come into the fullness of that for themselves. And as you may recall, on that day alone, 3,000 there in Jerusalem were saved, responded there. Day after day, that number increased over the months, over the years, down through the centuries, continuing to this day. And you know, every attempt to stop the flow, because that has been attempted in many different ways, and you kind of sense it even in the culture in which we're living, every attempt to stop the flow has failed. It's never worked. In fact, it just has the opposite effect. It's kind of like a pressure that is building up in a block pipe. And as the pressure increases, what happens? It just bursts out in other places. And right now, you kind of sense that there's so much going on trying to block the flow in this culture in which we live in. Yeah. But you know, it's going to burst out. This unstoppable, living Holy Spirit water is going to burst out across this nation again. We're going to see it afresh. There's going to be a fresh outpouring that will just flood this nation once again. Because this well that is there, it is springing up again. This is a deep well, a well that is forever flowing, a well that is unstoppable. It's coming from the Father's heart to you and to me and to those around us. There's going to be joy that's going to be released. Fresh joy that comes out of this well. Fresh joy that on this encounter, there was joy there on that Pentecost morning. Fresh joy again today as God comes. It brings life, true life, eternal life. It is to be found in Jesus. And it just, today we need to call on him afresh, I'm sure, for ourselves, for that fresh infilling, that fresh outpouring. We need to cry out for our families, our friends, our communities, our nation. We're going to celebrate first, and well, let's just see where God takes us after that. But Father, we just thank you that it was always in your heart to come to that moment where you poured out your precious Spirit upon all flesh. And we thank you that we live in a day when your Spirit is flowing, when the wells are stirring afresh, when there's a fresh outpouring, there's a fresh moment of coming. Lord, we just look to you. We cry out to you that you would just open the heavens, open the wells, open the waters of the deep, Lord, that there might be those rivers of living water flowing, that we might see you afresh, that you might bring life and wholeness and healing and, Lord, and so much more. Lord, we thank you for every touch. We thank you for every encounter. We thank you for what has been. But Lord, we come afresh in such need, and we come on behalf of our family and our friends and our neighbours and our communities and our nation. And Lord, we cry out to you that you will come again. Lord, even as we are celebrating, even as we're being reminded of this day, Lord, as there are events going on and the people going to be gathering and all those things that will be taking place, Lord, I just pray that there will be a bursting out of this unstoppable river of your spirits that would come again and bring joy into this land as they've come back into their purpose in you. Lord, that individuals will be changed, lives and futures and eternity changed because of you.